Hey. Hi, everybody. Hi. It's been a long time. This is Stacey Johnson, and this is Just Ask a Nigga, your favorite nigga on the face of the planet. And wait, if I can remember, because I didn't write it down. Romania. Does that exist anymore? Romania, the Ukraine, my favorite, Ukraine. I love you. Our president's a dick, okay, for sure. Okay, we love you. America loves you. And as soon as we get a new fucker in office, we're going to fix all that. We're going to come see you like every week. That's my ice machine. We got a story to tell tonight. But yes, Ukraine, Romania, yeah, the Philippines, Canada, the U.S., of course, Canada, U.S., South Africa, Sierra Leone, a lot of places. Listen, and thank you very much, because I know you're probably not the richest people in the world, or else you wouldn't be listening to me. And so I would like to thank you. And I missed you. It's been about 10 or 12 days. You know, I've just been emotional about a whole lot of stuff coming from L.A. You know, they keep talking about Kobe. And today was it, okay? So we can stop the praise and Kobe, please. Let's stop, please. Everybody loves him. We need to stop. There were over 400,000 Twitter thingies today for Kobe. Everybody loves him. And now, and that's what I hate going to funerals. I've only been to two. And that's it. And my own, it will be the third. I think. I might not be there. I don't know. But the thing about funerals and memorials is that you find out stuff about people that you don't know because you didn't have a personal relationship. And didn't we find out some beautiful things about Mr. Kobe Bryant? Oh, my God. God takes the angels because he's jealous. He is a jealous God, and he takes those who've already learned the lesson. See, the rest of us assholes, we're going to be here a while because we got lessons to learn. They take angels. God takes his angels right back because they've learned the lesson. Didn't Kobe learn a lot of lessons when stupid Gail wanted to talk about one dumb thing? Didn't we hear so many beautiful things about Mr. Bryant that nobody ever fucking knew? Now, I got six instruments. Kobe, I'm going to let you know, bro. I got six instruments to your piano, Negro, that you went in there and did while you was away from Vanessa. Hey, I was away from Vanessa. I'd be trying to do all kind of shit, too. You learned your lesson about being away from Vanessa, didn't you? I love that shit. You learn stuff about people you never knew because you didn't have a personal relationship. And those people that have those personal relationships come and let you know, this is who my bro was. Jordan up there crying. This nigga got on my nerves. But then I understood. He's just trying to be good. And he calling me. So I had to get out my own ass, Mr. Jordan, and love me on some Kobe Bryant. And up there crying. He the nigga up there crying the most. Shaq, I read this because I don't want to cry, so I'm just reading, right? God takes people like that because they've learned a lesson. They go and they go back to heaven. They go to be recycled, and they're gone, just like my daddy, just like my oldest sister, Angel Storm. Bye-bye. We've learned our lesson. We don't need to be here no more with y'all rats. Death is a beautiful thing. You recycle, that body is gone. But when it's a beautiful person like Kobe, you'll never forget. And, you know, so we here and talk about poor people. All right? And more than that, you know, we're here to talk about things that should not be in this country. And because I'm such a proud African-American, okay, so let me share some things here because I'm in my living room, not on my landline phone, okay? For one thing, I'm on my cell phone. I'm going to grow me an indoor vertical garden. So me, I go buy the best stuff. I don't have to put chemicals, da-da-da-da-da. So you buy your natural shit that go in your organic dirt. oh, and it smells like shit. And so I did my first one today in my dirt, and I'm in my little prefabricated garden in my home, and it smelled like shit. And that just happens to be in my office. And so I was like, oh, no, I don't know if Kobe gave me a headache today or inhaling this, whatever this is you put in your organic dirt so you don't have to put chemicals in your shit. Oh, so I'm in my living room on my cell phone. Computer came out. That's easy. I didn't bring the landline. I don't want to do all that because I got to bring it back. But what I did do, Amazon, room filter. Shit. And it won't be here until Wednesday. So my office smells like somebody took a nice, healthy doo-doo in the center of the room. But my plants love it. Oh, nobody said your room was going to smell like shit. Indoor garden, vertical. But I'm going to have some beautiful string beans, okra, cherry tomatoes, sunflower plants, and one other thing. Okra, da-da-da-da-da. Oh, did I say green beans? Oh, and chives to go in my fried rice. Okay, we'll see how that turns out. In indoor gardens, you know, it's like indoor weed, right? Every 3 months, you got a new stash. 55 days, I got new tomatoes. So, because, you know, they're trying to ruin our, your tomato going to cost you $10. So learn how to do it inside. So don't be like me. Your room will smell like shit until you get a filter, and we'll see how that works. All right. So thank you for joining me. Today is February the 24th, 2020, and today we're supposed to be talking about one of the poorest cities, Detroit. Well, Detroit's problem started long before, you know, it was a little bitty, shitty, nothing town, right, before the, of course, auto industry, just like New Jersey. Can't we talked about that one, right? And our 10 poorest cities, it should have been 11, because along with Newark, New Jersey, we already did Canton. Everybody seemed to love that and listen to that. But you know what? When it comes to all these poor cities, it's a typical scenario. Poor city, we bring in an industry, right? We get people. We're bringing in a city where there's mostly black people, where there's a lot of black people. I don't care if it started or began or whatever. But here in Detroit, a part of the Great Migration from the South to escape those Jim Crow laws that we'll go over too, Black History Month ain't never going in for us. And I'm checking out the History Channel just on Sunday, talking about join us for Black History Month just last Sunday. So you know what, this country. Black people always talk about the injustices that we have to face every day. All we do is talk about it, right? Because that's all we can do, right? You and me as black citizens, what can we do? Okay, we try to go to the White House, we will get arrested, maced, in chokehold, something. But we're supposed to have black leaders, right, that are a step above us, that's supposed to handle this shit for us, but we don't. And so all we can do is on Twitter and Facebook, be mad about Bernie, be mad about Bloomberg, be mad, be mad, be mad. That's all you can do is be mad. Because we have no leadership. So I'm resigned to just being mad. And I'm thinking about my parents. I'm sure I got this desire to help people just like my parents had to be upstanding Negroes and to raise 11 upstanding Negroes. I'm sure my parents had the same desire that I did to help people. They didn't go out and do all kind of crazy shit and be mad. And, you know, they didn't have Twitter and Facebook. Maybe my mama probably would have said a lot of shit if she would have been able to, I'm sure. But not my daddy. And so I think about my life and I was like, all you do is hear people bitch and moan about how fucked it up it is for black people. But it's been that way forever. And if you go back and you study our history, it's been that way since we got off the love boat, nigga. And the key difference between us and everybody else is that they have leadership in high government positions to look out for their best interests. We don't. We won't. It appears it's hard to get that to happen. And so all we can do, and which I hope we will do, and I hope people feel the need to do, at the turn of the 19s now into these 20s, a lot of people, you know, probably like me, where you had to cut off a lot of shit because it was just no longer in your best interest. It wasn't part of your new karma, your new vow to love yourself better, whatever. But what you should be trying to do is make some kind of ties with somebody you can connect with, you can love, you can support, no matter what the color of them are. So, you know, we can talk about poor Detroit, poor Cleveland, Dayton, Rochester, New York, Hartford, Connecticut, Newark, New Jersey, Syracuse, New York, Birmingham, Alabama, Jackson, Mississippi, and Springfield, Massachusetts. Massachusetts is one of the poor. Massachusetts. I mean, really? And the poorest city in in California is a place of my disrespectful ass niece lives. Uh-huh, figures. Yeah, that's why. You hanging around with a bunch of broke niggas, so you coming to me like I'm broke. Like, what, where? And she lived there. I'm like, oh, try to get everybody to move there. Who want to live there where everybody's on meth and you the only one with a job? And you got to leave every day. All of this meth, poverty, crime, shit is all not our problem, not our creation. It's people trying to fucking survive. That's pretty much all it is. And riots happen because people get tired of getting their fucking teeth kicked in and injustice. So what do? They just lash out. And they're all, that's a reason to fuck up everybody. Oh, the riots. Oh, finally a reason to leave the neighborhood for good, right? That's all Detroit was. We need cars built because these are the cars, right? Cars. Let's look at some history shit. But like I said, before the cars, it was poor black people in Detroit living like poor individuals anyway. So I don't know where this is coming from, where all of a sudden I'm getting these alerts from shit that I've never asked for and I do not want. And this the data industry where we're, like they said, if you're getting something for free, then you are the goddamn product. If you're getting a product for free, you're the product. And I always said that with Facebook. Why is this shit free? What? How much you getting? Oh, we're the product. So the role of the automobile industry. Okay, that's where Detroit's story pretty much starts. Okay, so before then, it was a small town. Making it the 13th largest city in the U.S. It had a population of 285,000 people prior to the boom. Okay, over the following decades, the growth of automobile industry, including affiliated activities such as parts manufacturing, came to dwarf other manufacturing in the city. Okay, so it drew there Detroit's neighbor Dearborn. There were over 90,000 workers. The shifting nature of the workforce, stimulated by rapid growth of the auto industry, had an important impact on the city's future development. You know, but that is in when, at Ford Motor iconic enormous River Road plant alone. And it opened in 1927. Okay, over 90,000 workers. Nearby Canada was important early on, and many other workers came from Eastern and Southern Europe, a large portion being ethnic Italians, Hungarians, Poles. An important attraction for these workers was that the new assembly line techniques required little prior training or education to get a job in the industry. 1927. Don't say nothing in that paragraph about black people, where we got ethnic Italians, Hungarians, and Poles. The breadth of sources for the growing demand for auto assembly workers. So there's a growing demand. Was sharply limited by World War I. during that time, and shortly thereafter, restrictive U.S. Immigration Act of 1924 limited annual quotas for new immigrants. So, of course, who are they going to turn to? The Negro. In response, the industry, with Ford in the forefront, turned in a significant way to hiring the African Americans. And here you go to your up and then your down, right? Because you start to leave the South because of the Jim Crow shit. Ford say, hey, I got a job for you. You know, little training, right? Immigration. And the only reason why, you know, you get invited, Negro, is because of the Immigration Act of 1924, see? So, you know, and this country gets on my last nerve because it gets on my last nerve. Ain't nowhere else. I am looking into Canadian citizenship, dual citizenship. I am, because, you know, you never know. You want to be versatile, you know. And if it, please go and Google Vicente Fox's political ad where he gives not only one but two thumbs up, but it's not a thumb. It's the middle finger to Mr. Donald Trump with a picture of him as a little boy talking about basically this nigga, his daddy never loved him. Some shit, I don't know. Grown, see these, you see what our, and everybody knows, if it were women, you think we'd be doing that shit? If it were women in charge of this country in Mexico? No, just a bunch of men, right, doing stupid shit. But Harvey won't be doing no more as of tonight, right? Talking about, oh, Harvey's got him heart palpitations. I bet he does. Shit, this nigga going to jail. He going to prison. Hell yeah, he got heart palpitations. See, let me tell you, friends and lovers, there's a lot of shit that's going to change right before your freaking eyes in the next couple of years. Well, this year, let alone the next couple. Now, my astrology people say the financial industry is going to have a massive change. And what we see today, down by 1,000 points, stop putting your money in 401k. Stop doing all that shit. Okay, yeah, we'll match it. Da, da, da. Yeah, they'll match it in 10 years. Between now and the time they match it, and 10 years later, guess what? They've taken your money and what they matched, right? And that's what you think you're living on when you get old. I said you better go buy you some gold, okay? Go buy you some gold, condos, and conflict diamonds. Don't wait for America. It's too greedy. And see, the thing about it, and why we're talking about poverty, because everything about poverty is, okay? It could be Detroit. It could be wherever. The story is the fucking same. We need you. We're going to use you. Soon as we find a way to do without you, Clinton and the free trade agreements and all that shit. Well, look at us now. Oh, everything is in China. Oh, everything that comes from Walmart, right, comes from fucking China. Okay, so you might as well just start going to Target right now, right, because the economy is crashing just because of China. One country. Why not America? Why isn't all of that shit it being made in the greatest country in the fucking world? You know why? Because, I can get labor for 2 cents. I got to pay Negroes and poor white folks $10 or $7.50 if you live in fucking Michigan. Come on. Wow, what? Motherfuckers like Bloomberg can come out the blue, right? And which I don't blame them. Shit, I come out the blue too, but everything needs to stop. It needs to stop. It's going spinning around, and then they got Donald Trump at the head of the spin, spinning the shit. He the one. Man, you better open up your eyes and just, if nothing else, you better ask God to make sure that he's listening to you. Because these people that got us distracted with Gail and Colby's, somebody, we don't even know her name no more, right? It's so long ago. And Roger Stone and the old nasty boy going to jail. All the shit disrupting you from what's real. Demanding leadership for your life, demanding leadership that is consequential and specific to the needs of your black life. Yeah, Bernie's winning. Oh, Bernie's winning from what, 18 to 29. Okay. I ain't 29, and I don't necessarily know that I want to fuck with Bernie. I don't know. I'd rather fuck with Liz. You know what I mean? Let me make sure I'm looking. See, okay, did I say I was in my living room? Well, in my living room, I don't have my three monitors, right? So I don't know if somebody's called in. I'm so handicapped. As soon as I get my room filter, I'm going to be okay. Brainberries wants, no, block Brainberries. I hate this. Block it, and I don't know who that is. All right. So talking about Detroit, but the story is the same. For Detroit, just like New Jersey, we bring the car industry in there, right? We don't have no choice because that's all we know at that point in our history is to, we got this new industry that we've created, the assembly line, all this, da, 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 da. We got restrictions, okay, immigration. We prefer to have a bunch of new immigrants working this shit, but guess what? We got to rely on the old Negroes. So here they come. Come on, Negroes. Come on from the Jim Crow South. Come on, try to get some life. Hmm? I know a lot of people in family come from that shit. Grandpa, great-grandpa. No, more like grandpa. My age, more like grandpa. Made a good living, just like in the airline industry. My homegirls, my best homegirls, daddy was a sky cap. Guy kept taking luggage, that's the shit. That man had more money than a little bit. Owned two homes in Chicago, and he was a sky cap. So back in the day, yeah, 50s, 70s, they paid Negroes because, you know, and every time, like in Detroit, when a nigga start to riot, oh, wait, let's make some, put a Negro in charge, please. Give a Negro a job. Same shit here. As soon as we get crazy. But see, the thing is, we started rioting in Detroit in the late 40s. And that's what we're going to talk about first before the niggas went off after, you know, 67. But in the late 40s in Detroit, niggas went off because of all of that segregation and the redlining and I can only live here and blah, blah, blah. So we got a little video we're going to listen to about the 47 riot in Detroit before we even got to rioting in the 60s. And that one was all about, you know, the living conditions, we going crazy, so we finna go off. You know, that's, but we in a new time, brothers and sisters. So, you know, if you have not at this point determined a way out on your own, you know, there is a way out of every situation and every circumstance. Trust me, I don't know how I do it. Oh, yeah, I do, because I got magnanimous faith in God. That's how I do it. So we're going to take a little break, baby. We're going to play something for you. So I could just take a little break, and we'll be right back, because you need to hear firsthand this riot of 47. Then, okay, look, long story short, cars, no cars, people leave, drugs come in. For a long, long time, drugs, drugs, drugs. Oh, hire somebody black. Oh, the one black person after all of this can't do it. So we take over. Oh, we take over. Then white businesses come in and buy up everything. Detroit, 1947 to 2015. And we can get into the details while you hear the ice fall. And we will be right back. All right, all right, all right, everybody. Thank you for coming back. This is Yo Nigga. And just asking, nigga, we talking about the poorest cities in America and why Detroit, Michigan. I don't know why the richest nation in the world treats people like shit. You know, it's all part of the, and tomorrow I'm doing the prejudice and race and why and shit. Because that's why, you know, somebody somewhere somehow thought that there should be a race and a run for the best of the best, and those motherfuckers with the biggest balls and gall, you know. But good always wins. It just does, and we're about to see that happen. When we think, when you look around you right now, people just hold tight and no need to panic. Go to work. Don't worry about it. But see, the one thing that I already know, but I have to seriously practice every day, and when I do it now, I'm realizing my leg don't hurt. See, and my leg's been hurting. We got to understand that we were brought here into this existence as a human for a reason. And our reason, the reason, is for us to experience life for God. Some of us got an easy break, I gotta say, and some of us got fucked up breaks. But the whole point is to somehow, no matter what break you got, is to come into alignment with your oneness with God. And if you can do that, if you can somehow manage that through all the shit you go through, you know, it's all going to work out. And like I said, we're lucky. We're lucky. If you're black, you're lucky, baby. You are not a slave. You weren't a civil rights nigga, okay? Shit. And me, I lived in Cali, okay? I didn't have to live in the South. But we all brought here for a reason, and to live our life and to give experience to God through our life, to show God through our life to other people. Some of us are really here to do it real top-notch type shit, and some of us are here to just keep, you know, just not. And it's crazy. When you get old, you try to understand it because you old all these days, you got what, bro? And you see young motherfuckers dying out the blue, poof. And so people die like that. And I go back to my brother Kobe. People die like that to wake the rest of us up. You know, I mean, it's just tremendously painful, but we ain't dead, okay? And we're not Vanessa. You know, we just are able to see that and say, oh, my God, let's love the people we have. Let's love our life. Let's love ourselves, because each and every one of us, through the grace and glory and wonder and majesty and oneness of God, have the ability to live a life just like Kobe lived. I mean, that may not be a B-baller. Even though I convinced my kids I played on the Lakers with Magic Johnson. They were so little. They were like, Mom, you did? I'm like, yeah. Remember Spud, right? I was like that. I love my kids. Oh. Yeah. So we got to enjoy life, man, because you never fucking know. And enjoy your life. Make sure your life is good. Because if you love your life and you, then that's going to make everything around you love you. See, everything starts with you loving you. If you can love you, then everybody around you will love you. See, and I had to learn that shit the hard way. I thought I was loving me, but I was really loving everybody else before me. You see, and that's not really love. It is, but no, it's not. Because God's going to show you, you got to love yourself first. I brought you here to love you through me first. Nobody can love you, person, like you can love you, person. So if you waiting on somebody to love you, you're going to be waiting a long-ass time. You're going to die, and you're going to have to come back and do it again. And I learned that shit because I start feeling life going. I'm like, I don't feel as strong as I used to feel. You know, because, yeah, you're giving your life away. That's what my body said. And as soon as, hey, love you, 2020 is all about looking in the mirror and loving the nigga you see there first. And letting them know, talk to them and say, nigga, you are the finest nigga I ever seen, damn it. Well, me personally, it's the truth. But it's the truth for everybody. There's not one person that better look at themselves in the mirror and think that that's not love you see. Or you better rethink your shit, because it absolutely is. Now, Preacher Stacy, going back to being civil rights Stacy, shit, damn. So Detroit, them niggas was beefing long before the 60s. So let's listen to some beef from the 90s. If I could find it, oh my God. If I could find it, 1947 race riots. Let's hear what they're talking about. And thank God you weren't there, right? These are some, look, they call it Zoot Suit riots, okay? They was in Zoot Suit. All right, here we go. Let's try to play this.
Here we are, June 23rd, Detroit, Michigan, 1943, where members of the Ku Klux Klan and local Caucasian aggressors brawl against groups of African Americans. Altercations between youths of different ethnic backgrounds began on Belle Isle, June 20th, a small island off Detroit's mainland. Brawl grew larger and eventually developed into a white versus black standoff on the Belle Isle Bridge. Rumors from the standoff made their way back into the city. These rumors included that a black woman was thrown off the Belle Isle Bridge by a white person, and the other rumor was that a white woman was raped and murdered by a black male on the bridge. These rumors escalated into an additional 2 days of rioting where anything went. These riots were very brutal. There were 25 African-American deaths, 7 white deaths, and around 700 people were injured. African-Americans were destroying their property and businesses of whites and vice versa.
Of those 25 African-American deaths, 17 of them were by police officers. It almost seems as if different ethnic backgrounds were looking for an excuse to fight one another. Police have tried to step in, but they simply were not able to control the masses. Plus, this overwhelmingly white police force arrested 1,800 people over the past couple of days. 85% of these arrests were people of color. This suggests one of two things: a racist police force, or the African Americans are the sole aggressors of the riot. Analysts are suggesting that a large number of African Americans migrating from near and far to Detroit due to opportunity in the workplace. They are also suggesting that there's not enough housing. Over 200,000 African Americans were crammed into a 60-block radius. These attacks are a result of Detroit's booming industry, resulting in heavy employment competitions among races.
Detroit isn't new to racial conflicts, as race riots broke out during the Civil War in 1863, which began due to unrest related to race riots and the military draft. The city had also become a stronghold of the KKK during the 1920s. The race riots of 1943 started largely due to a lack of housing in Detroit, when many African-American people migrated to the city for job opportunities. In 1942, Polish all-white neighborhoods wanted to keep blacks out of their housing projects. The Detroit Housing Commission said they would find another place for these black people to live, but they could not find a suitable site for them. Washington, D.C. housing authorities later agreed to let blacks into the housing projects. In a nearby field, a cross was burned, alluding to the KKK. The following morning, February 27, 1942, a crowd of armed white men had grown to 1,200. Some black tenants, who had already signed the lease and paid rent, tried to cross the picket line of whites, who wanted them to stay out of the projects. This led to a clash between white and black groups, and despite mounting opposition from white groups, 6 black families were allowed to move in at the end of April, and Detroit Mayor Jeffries activated the National Guard to keep the peace.
This was a definite example of patriotism, opportunity, and most importantly, oppression during the war. People who sought employment had an opportunity for new jobs within Detroit's booming industries to help with war efforts. But at the same time, people of Detroit were challenged with a dividing race where jobs were overwhelmed by one particular race group, the whites. Not to mention the tension from the rumors between disputes between races made people from both sides mad. Keep in mind, while military was desegregated due to Roosevelt's Executive Order 9981, this did not apply to cities in the U.S. People saw an open door for opportunity and went through it. But while doing that, they couldn't let others go through it. That being said, this created tension that led to a battle for opportunity among race groups, resulting in oppression. This oppression is shown when an extremely disproportionate white police force makes arrests that were 85% black, while Detroit's population is only 10% black. This creates an actual race war in the streets of Detroit. It's very patriotic people to want jobs just for the healthy efforts of the war, but not at the same time due to the fact they're fighting each other. This oppression made our country look weak to Axis powers. German broadcasters have referred to it as the internal disorganization of a country torn by social injustice, race hatreds, regional disputes, and the violence of irritated parolins and gangsterism of capitalistic police. A plethora of problems that arise from these issues, and the last thing we want is division in a time where we need unity. Our people are a representation of our country, and we are currently fighting two different wars. One against oppression on our homeland and one against the enemy on the battlefield. Military now desegregated is a leap in the right direction, but there is seemingly no way possible for our neighborhoods to be the same way. Our streets are ridden with racial tension, increasing the violence. Possible solutions include imprisonment of white supremacists and groups, abolishment of city segregation, and rooting the street gang. With the combination of these solutions and the cooperation of our citizens, we can be a united country, never have to worry about such an atrocity happening again. We the people of the United States can and will conquer oppression. It will be a problem of the past.
All right. So that is a little video put together by a bunch of little white kids. Okay? So that's the best thing you can do for this country is to educate them, and you hear them spitting on why it happened. Okay? Oppression. So that was before. You know, that's before. This is in 43. Okay? So we're talking about... You know, we started here, I started here, talking about, you know, 50s, late 40s. And, well, actually, the 1927 is when Ford started. So you can imagine. So with the Immigration Act of 24, right, the blacks came pretty much. But then they say, hey, they come, but then they don't have a place to stay. And this doesn't really talk much about the riot of 47, more so of 67, or 43, more so of 67. And so over time, of course, the auto industry, it grew and grew and grew. But by the 50s, really, it started to decline. So in the 50s, it really started to decline. And during that decline, of course, there are, you know, they move. And the thing about what I've studied with Canton and here is that they take these industrial businesses out of the cities. They take them out of the city where the majority of African Americans live. So they didn't have to go far to go to work. Based on, you know, they got on the trolleys and the trains and they were saying, you know, so they wouldn't have, they would be able to get to work on public transportation, basically. And so during this same time, they'll close the facilities and then they'll move them to places where, in the suburbs, where blacks can't afford to live and can't afford to get to. And they have no way to get to them. And so, of course, that takes all of the wealth. The businesses, first of all, because a business, a big company like an auto company, right, is going to fuel so many other businesses, as in any community, right? You've got a huge government facility on site, well, everything around it is going to be fueled because of the people that have to come there every day. Just like in my neighborhood, there are executive offices in the neighborhood where I walk. You know, but on the weekend, there's nobody there. So I'm almost certain the little sandwich shops and everything else, they're not open because nobody's there to buy nothing. Same thing here. So you take the businesses out. The people that can afford to move, they're gone. The white people for certain are gone, all the executive staff. And they were saying during that time, the auto industry started to, of course, they had the unions. So, of course, they're going to have these beefs with the unions. And so for Ford and the Ford in particular, they started to build what they call parallel plants, where the parallel plants did the same thing as the plants in the city, because they noticed that, hey, the majority of our workers are black in the unions working in the city, in our plants in the cities. What if they strike? It's going to decimate. You know, we'll be gone. And so what they say, they started to produce parallel facilities farther away in different places. And, of course, in the 50s, they started to relocate in Canada and Mexico. And that was basically it. So by the 70s and 80s, the auto industry suffered setbacks. It encountered the rise of OPEC, right, and the resulting sharp increase in gasoline prices. And so cars started to change. It faced a new and intense international competition, particularly from Italian, Japanese, right? Everybody had a Corolla. My daddy had one, right? One of them old, from right? Because less gas, OPEC was the gas. These Japanese cars, what? Took less gas when the gas guzzlers that the American cars were. And then everybody started going into bankruptcy, okay? And the thing about it, as in Canton, as in Detroit, they know that the industry is changing, right? 80s, 90s, the industry is changing. So instead of adapting those facilities to the changing industry so you can continue to employ your citizens. See, and my thing is, when are we going to find a lawyer? Then we need a lawyer. The American people need a lawyer to say, hey, look, don't you take a vow to do something to protect us as citizens? I mean, you as a government official, is it part of your vow to take my job away so now that I'm suffering? You did that. It's not like I stopped working. I decided not to come to work that day. You took my means of eating every day. You took it away because you thought this is a better deal for America, right? You thought it was a better deal for America. I mean, we need to have, especially now, I mean, with the Trump administration, I mean, you got a bunch of, I mean, you might as well go get you some college interns to run that administration until it's over. But you got to have people with some kind of fucking vision. This is where the country is going. You got to get rid of Facebook and that alien, because all he's doing is selling every ounce of, I mean, I can't get on shit without an ad of something they think I need because they know how old I am. You know, our data is just being chopped up and sold to the highest fucking bidder. We need to stop all that shit. We're at a time right now where we're not at any time that we've ever seen before. And so you need to think in a way that you've never thought before. Meaning, if what would happen to me if I no longer could buy fresh if some fresh vegetables, the things I need to stay actually healthy, started costing more than I could afford? Well, shit, you got dirt and the sun and a seed. God does that. God takes care of the rest. Learn how to plant your own shit. Stop eating meat. Quit being so fat because you might have to walk someplace or get on a bike. You know what I mean? But all of us individually are brought here to this earth on a different course, on a different whatever. And it's each of our own individual right to be fucked up or not. It's all of our individual responsibility to look at what we see in the world and see if it, if we think we need to change to do better or not. And so poverty is, all my study of poverty say this shit is self is government induced and perpetuating, and it's up to us as individuals, as citizens, as protectors of our own lives and families, to go to a higher source and power to see where we should go, because our government may not be the one. I mean, we here, and nobody's coming in and taking my shit out my bar yet, you know. Nobody's kicking in my door yet just because they can. As Americans, we never figured we'd go there, but did we ever figure that we'd have what we have right now? Poverty. If one person is poor, we all poor. Because you may come up short because of the poorest motherfucker you ain't never seen in your life. You might be parked in the parking lot where he happens to be walking through. And he busts open your window because you dumb enough, because you're so secure with your life, you left your purse in the car. I know a lot of people like that. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Because you're only looking at you. It's the religion of everything's okay with me type shit. And we got to get out of that. So. Poverty, you know, we talk about forever. I'm going to the next city. I bet it was an industry, right, that was booming. And then it stopped booming, and we moved shit because it was better for the company and fuck the people. And then, right? So how far are we in this? Because I only set this for an hour and a half. Because it's the same old story. It's the same ass old story. I like listening about the riots where the black people just got fed up and did a Superman. I did a Superman. Shit, fuck it. Because people can only take so much. So let's see, where do we stop? Okay, we good. We got 38 minutes because we have to listen to the 67 riots. So let me just get on to redlining, okay? So not only did, you know, that type of shit, and we've heard about all the polls wanted to keep the black people out, segregation by race. So Detroit has a legacy of discrimination, okay? It stretched long and far, okay, during the 20s, okay, roaring 20s. And my thing was, during segregation, black people did the best. It's only when we started to integrate, then it's like the weed game, right? As soon as it got legal, ain't no more niggas in it. Oh, that's the perfect analogy. As soon as we got integrated, you can't find a black business doing nothing but selling weed until 20 whatever. You feel me? We had to have black business because we weren't allowed to deal with white folks or whatever. Right? I got a friend, that's all he tell me about how his family had black bus companies. Okay, well, you should have kept them going. Oh, but we thought integration was going to make us so equal that we didn't have to worry about everything. Oh, nigga, you ain't equal because you ain't got equal money and you ain't got equal government officials fighting for your ass. Right? To this day, you ain't equal. Come on. I want people to think intelligently about the fate and what they've seen. I'm only going to go by what you'll do tomorrow, nigga, about what you did yesterday, right? What they've been doing, bro? Redlining. Okay, so let's get deeper into the red line. So let's see. Yeah, we in it right here. All right. So let's just African-American neighborhoods in Detroit experienced a renaissance, one full of prosperity, livelihood, and industry within the black communities. However, Due to the economic hardships of manufacturing industries, these communities fell upon hard times and devolved into decrepit remnants of what they once were. White Detroiters and some wealthier Black communities used various methods to restrict the movement of Black citizens into predominantly white neighborhoods. And niggas too, though. Wealthier Black communities. That's a shame. Real estate agents and white homeowners often use a tactic called redlining. The Homeowners Loan Corporation, which was charged with deciding which areas were suitable for housing loans, would mark Black neighborhoods in red, flagging the area as unsuitable for federal loans and subsidies. This red line, and Elizabeth Warren talks about it all the time, prevented Blacks from the ability to attain loans from banks to buy new homes or make improvements on existing homes. See, that's the fucked up part. I already got a house, and you won't let me make improvements on it? I mean, come on, bro. That kind of shit is just like, it's unreasonably racist and wrong. You know, and where's some Black person saying that's unreasonably racist and wrong and we won't stand for it? And some other shit they did in here that they passed laws to fix it and the fucking Supreme Court overturned it in 1970. I mean, what do you do? What do you do? I'm 55. What do you do? You don't drop your martini is what you don't do. Or spill it at least. Hey, what do you do? What do you do, people? What do you do? What do you do? Unity is the thing you better learn fucking how to do. I don't know how to do it. I got a website if you want to try it. Because I'm one with God and we just starting there. SF shit. SFJFamilyServices.org. You want to be unified? Because all I do is try to help some kids. You know, I'm like Kobe. I try to help some kids. Fuck it. I'm on my phone seeing if I can get somebody to hook up 5 minutes before I die, just like Kobe. That's why I was going to say this nigga. Come on. You already halfway up here, Kobe. Let's go. So, that is an awfully good martini. And you know what? Only use gin, people. Vodka martinis are for punks. All right, so redlining, okay? Even niggas was a part of that. And the Homeowners Loan Corporation was just charged with declining which areas were suitable. Of course, areas where niggas was. This also contributed to racial prejudice against Blacks. Having a Black resident in a white neighborhood greatly depreciated home values, and it's still the same today, shit, right? Further motivating white Detroiters to keep their neighborhoods segregated, they were no longer, see, and the thing about that shit, there's got to be some government, if when your citizens are acting that fucking dumb, people, you got to have somebody that's strong, that can get in front of a TV like Orange Boy, right, and do just the opposite of what he does. See, we ain't never had that as Black people in this country. And if we had it for a little while, they do some shit for us. But then, like, I don't know who said, you can't legislate a heart, right? You can't legislate a man's will. You can pass laws, but you can't make that motherfucker love you. So we gonna take a break. And we're going to go on to listen to some 1967 riot shit because I'm almost certain. I'm certain in my lifetime, and I'm a young chick of 55. Fuck. I'm a young babe. I'm almost certain in my lifetime I'm going to see some shit where my Black brothers and sisters are going to overcome economically because that's what it's all about. You know, and I'm almost certain we could do it through construction. Shit, nigga. This country needs labor to build homes. I see it every day. Why can't I teach some little Negroes how to be framers? Oh, because they still try to get those jobs to some white folks or Mexicans that they can take advantage of. But I ain't going to teach a nigga how to do it. Because you know what? A nigga going to be the best at it, because a nigga is the best at everything a nigga does. And we know that. Man. Right? Shit. That's how God made us. You better believe. Why you think your ass was a slave? Not because you was, so willing to work out there. No, you were the only motherfucker that didn't die when they put you out there. Don't you know that? You're the only motherfucker that would not die, cool cat. We'll be back. Let's hear some more niggas going crazy. I want people to go crazy until you get what's coming to you. Go crazy. All right. Welcome back on this beautiful Monday, February 24th, 2020. This is Just Ask a Nigga. This is your favorite nigga in the whole wide world, Stacey Felicia Johnson, the youngest of the Johnsons. Who cares, right? Who cares? I don't talk to none of them. Who cares? I only talk to the one that's in heaven. I'm not from here. I was only brought here at the last minute because daddy and mommy needed me. No. You know what? You asked to come here. Your parents don't pick you. You pick your parents. Crazy. Look it up. You know, when you get old, you really try to find the meaning of a lot of shit. What's my name mean? Why was I born? What's the planets? What's this? What's that? Who's my daddy? What's my... Oh, I know that. No, never a question. I'm so blessed. From where I'm sitting in my little living room at my dinner table, I see my mom and daddy. And I'm very proud of the choice I made. So we're talking about Detroit, and I'm talking about people. I'm going to be talking about a lot of shit in the upcoming days and months and years and until, I ain't heard from her in a while. Because I'm interested in so many things that are interesting, and I like to share them. Whether it's this, because I love black people, so I never hear enough about black history, so I love to study it, read it, da-da-da-da-da. We already know we're the most fucked up people in the country. I don't know how many different ways we need to say it, but I think we just so used to it. We don't fight it. We don't talk. We don't get mad about it. People shooting us alive. We just deal with it. We're killing our kids. What are we going to do? Because what are we supposed to do as citizens? What are we supposed to do? We go try to do something, we're going to get shot, right? We're supposed to have leaders that we hire through our vote to protect us and defend us and represent us. In the terms of black people, that has never happened. So maybe every black person in this world will, when they pass away, they'll come back to a new black world where we are in charge. I don't know. I'm hoping to see that happen while I'm here on America right now. Because it's playing itself out so bad, it's got to eventually reap what it sows pretty soon. And we didn't have shit to do with it. So, Civil War, who? Well, rich white people and poor white people? Because this nigga going to be eating popcorn, watching whatever station is still on. Verizon going to be on no matter what. Okay, y'all get them cheap phones all you want, shit. I'll be coming to my house. We can watch the Civil War on Verizon. Shit, at my bar. We got blue lights. Anyway, Detroit, we love you. Cleveland, we love you. Dayton, we love you. Rochester, we love you. Hartford, we love you. Newark and Camden, we love you. Syracuse, we love you. Birmingham, Alabama, you know we love you. Jackson, Mississippi, we love you. And how the hell is anywhere in Massachusetts poor, but Springfield, we love you. All must be nigga populated. Gotta be, right? When you talk about poor, gotta be nigga populated. I don't see West Virginia in there, and I know the poorest, most messiest towns in West Virginia. I don't see it on the list. Anyway, 67. Okay? 68, our brother was killed. All the 60s was hot, right? So Detroit going down all the way through the 80s, so it really don't make a difference. Okay, so this is some shit that I read that was crazy. When they did open the housing market, this is how they opened it in Detroit. Your Caucasian persuasions go in there and do what's called blockbusting, right? They go in there and say, hey, a black person getting ready to buy that house next door. But, I'll buy your house right now for, and then lowball the white person, right? Oh, the white person all scared. Oh, okay, Bob. Oh, we'll move out next week. And Bob lying his ass off. So what did Bob do? Bob got that house. Then Bob go and sell it hella much more for a nigga, to a nigga, right? And to rich niggas, not poor niggas. So, you know, just like the weed game, right? Because I'm part of that game. I never bought no weed from nobody white for how many years? I'm 55. I started smoking it first year in college. I'm 19. That's a lot of years. Oh, all of a sudden now, I got to get it from a white man. Why you take them out the game? Because that's what you do. You use people, this country, white people. I wish, I don't care about Ben Affleck. I don't know why this shit is on, why it pops up all of a sudden. Go back. That's the history of this country with, you know, I mean, I'm black, and I know my black history. You know, if you Latino, you know your Latino history. It's probably saying, right? Native Americans, you know your Native American history. But that's the history of, I mean, God damn, that's the history of this fucking country, bro. White people taking advantage of everybody. Using them and then throwing them fucking away. Whether they was racing mom, great, 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 great grandma. Or now they got babies in fucking cages and their parents was just picking strawberries a couple of years ago. How America think as an entity that it can go on and survive this way? Is there somewhere these white people are going after they get the karma smashed down on this country because they just so fucking greedy and don't give a fuck about nothing? Or can you at last have enough money to where you can let a nigga go ahead and buy a house and be happy? Can we get back to segregation? Fuck. But the way this country is going on and this lunatic, black people vote. Black people vote. Because we didn't vote and this motherfucker got elected. I don't give a fuck if Mickey Mouse. I vote for Mickey Mouse. That's my nigga. Black people vote. I don't give a fuck who it is. Vote. Because we, your black ass, is the determining factor. When you didn't vote last time, we got Orange Boy. You, black person. You're the determining factor of what goes on in this country. So you need to figure that shit out in your own little head. Don't let it slip you by this time. You know, don't let it slip you by. I don't give a fuck who's our nigga. We need to start understanding, starting 2020, we saved the house, black women. We saved it. If we saved the country, then we need to let the country know who the fuck saved it. We can save the country. We save everything. Everything the black woman touched. Bing, 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 gold. Bing, bing, bing. Right? Everything a black woman touches, gold. Vote, vote, vote. I'm proud to say that the very first time my black sons voted, they voted for a man that looked like them. One voted the first time, the second one wasn't old enough, but he voted when he was old enough, he voted the second time. Vote. Vote. Not that it did us no fucking good, but they felt proud. You know what I'm saying? That they voted, they were able to vote their very first time for a man that wasn't as handsome, he's not as handsome as my sons, but he's a black man. Well, kind of halfway. My niggas is 100. Vote, vote, vote. And then let this country know who their mama is. I'm your mama, nigga. I tell everybody, you want to call me a bitch and nigga, whatever, I'm your mama. Go back and look. Go look at Lucy. Go find Lucy. And I ain't talking about Ricky and Lucy. Okay? That's your mama. I'm your mama. Don't ever forget this country who your mama is. They forgot who their mama is. They'll never know. They don't recognize who their mama is. We your mama. So now, 2020, we definitely your mama. I love America. All right, so let's talk about some riot shit before we go for the night. Let's see where we at. We your mama and we talking shit, like all good mamas. Okay, so the 67 riots was all about the same shit, civil rights. Dr. King wasn't killed yet, so these things are just, we just bang, bang. No, why does that keep coming up? All right, so let's listen to some very interesting Detroit riots, 1967, who started the riots, and let's hit it.
If you're serious about
okay,
your business,
we're going to get rid of this little white girl.
You have to find a great tool like Money.com to do it.
Bam.
The Detroit riots. In 1967, a riot broke out during a long, hot summer night in the Virginia Park neighborhood of Detroit, Michigan. Lasting more than 2 days, it was one of the most destructive riots in American history. We're going to take a look at what set the riots off, the riots themselves, and the consequences. In the late 1960s, the civil rights movement in the United States was growing stronger, but racial inequality was still a big problem. Deindustrialization of the cities and the desegregation of schools was causing a reshuffling of neighborhoods. As part of integration efforts, people of color moved into urban areas that were once predominantly white. But in response, many white people fled to the suburbs, some scared of integration, and some having lost their factory jobs. This phenomenon is called white flight and contributed to segregation. With many whites having fled urban centers, business owners and politicians neglected these new, mostly black neighborhoods, leading to overcrowding and deterioration. While Detroit spent money on developing and racially integrating the inner city, black residents of neighborhoods like Virginia Park were still dealing with housing and employment discrimination, poor access to medical services, an underfunded public education system, and racism from law enforcement. On July 23, 1967, at 3:15 a.m., the vice squad of the Detroit Police Department conducted a raid on an unlicensed bar on 12th Street in Virginia Park. Although it was late, the street was full of people trying to keep cool because of a heat wave. While the police were making arrests, a brick flew through a police car window, prompting the riots, looting, and fires that would rage for days. On July 25th, Governor George Romney called in the Michigan National Guard, and the riots finally ended on July 27th. But the damage and human loss was unprecedented. 43 people died. Over 1,000 were injured. Over 7,200 were arrested. More than 2,000 buildings and structures were damaged, and hundreds of families were left homeless. The riots accelerated the exodus of white people from the city, making segregation even worse. But it also drew attention to the problem. President Lyndon B. Johnson appointed a commission to figure out why the riots happened. The report found that white racism, discrimination, and poverty were to blame for the riots. It warned, quote, "Our nation is moving toward two societies, one black and one white, separate and unequal." 2 years later, the Stonewall riots would occur at the Stonewall Inn in New York City, which was targeted in a raid very similar to the bar on 12th Street. Like in Detroit, the spontaneous violence at the Stonewall Inn also resulted from discrimination, but this time against the LGBT community. The Stonewall was a popular safe haven for New York's gay community. Detroit and Stonewall would be the most destructive riots in U.S. history until the 1992 Los Angeles riots, which reflected similar issues of inner-city racial segregation and discrimination. The Detroit riots remind us that even a century after the Civil War ended, the violent legacy of racism and discrimination was still present in American culture, a legacy that echoes through modern society, where protesters and activists still fight for racial equality across the country.
All right. So, yeah. I'm going to put these videos up on the website, sfjfamilieservices.org, when we talk about, there'll be a section for Detroit, poorest cities. We've got a few things up there already. But, you know, the last thing in that video is showing that, oh, we're still fighting for this and that and the other. But you know what it shows? It shows a bunch of black people marching in the street. And so, you know, I'm a thinking person. I'm a Sagittarius. I'm a very black and white type of thinker. I'm good at math, so, you know, logic is what it is. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. We can say 3 + 1 = 4, but we can never say, like, 3 and 7 = 4. And I can explain to you why we can't say that. Well, poverty in America, there's a lot of case history, okay? There's a lot of 2 + 2 = 4 type shit. No matter what city you look at, I got 10. I've done 1 out of the 10, but I'm almost certain when we go and start to work on number 2, we're going to find a similar situation, right, where we use the people until we can't use them no more. We just say, fuck it, and leave it up to them to figure out how they're going to survive. And then when they can't survive, you know, somehow, some way, in the poorest motherfucking cities, right, we end up, there ends up being a whole lot of drugs in that fucking city. You know, how's that happen? You know, and my thing is, when you look at these, oh, we're going to still fighting the this and that, well, the only people fighting are the people that are marching in the street. Okay, so 2 + 2 = 4 means, in this case, we don't have anybody above the niggas in the street trying to fight the situation, trying to fight the circumstance, and niggas that ain't trying to fight, which is, if 1% is fighting in the street, marching, which, yeah, okay, 99% of the niggas is tweeting about the shit, how unjust it is on Facebook and Twitter, but won't give a dime to an organization that's really going to make a difference. See? So all that's bullshit. You can save how, oh, this person ain't doing that, and, oh, look at this and that. Well, you could save it. If you're not going to invest your ass or your cash, you can save it. You just another nigga. Save it. So that's Detroit. That's Stacy. That's just ask a nigga. If you ain't going to invest your ass or your cash, you're just wasting your time and everybody else's. You just like everybody else. So I don't know. I don't know what to say. I have invested my ass and my cash. So, but, you know, all I can do is share what I know and share what I think people want to hear about, all of you wonderful people in other countries. The next time we get together, we're going to be talking about prejudice, because I'm sure, almost certain, every last person in those other countries are dealing with that shit. And why it exists, who benefits from it, that's tomorrow. That's tomorrow, Wednesday. And Thursday, we're going to be doing 1968 and what went on in 1968. So much love to your favorite nigga in this whole wide universe, from Canada to the U.S. to the Philippines to Sierra Leone to South Africa to the Ukraine and Romania, the Philippines, New Zealand, all of you, all my brothers and sisters all over the world, this is your favorite nigga, and make sure you join me tomorrow. I love you so much, and we're going to play a good song, Smooth Lovin', for all the people out there, because you know I love you, and I say I love you, people say that shit, but I love for you to know that my highest concern is the uplifting and the joy that your spirit can have through the things that I bring.